You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
How's it going, Chiefs Kingdom? And welcome to episode 37 of the Great British Chiefs Show with your boys from the Kingdom. Representing the Kingdom, myself, Brad Simcox, and our headlines editor, Tom Childs. In this week's show, Tom and I revel in the magnificence of the Chiefs' victory over the Pittsburgh Steelers. We'll take a look at this week's Arrowhead Pride power rankings before we get you ready for the divisional playoff matchup at Arrowhead Stadium against the Buffalo Bills. But first,
hand off here, and Vaughn walks in for the touchdown. Hurts, end zone, picked off.
End zone touchdown.
Allen gets out of the pocket. We know how dangerous he is with his legs, and there he goes. Josh Allen, huge run across the 30-yard line.
Official gets in the way. The game's over.
Gosh.
The game is over.
Oh, he did.
Thought we'd start with a bit of playoff chat, mate. I know we normally reserve this part of the show for something that we're doing in our life, or we'll probably talk about the Premier League or something like that, but I think we're going to get straight into the playoff chat with this.
What? Excuse me, what?
Excuse me, what?
Did you say the playoffs?
Yeah.
Did the playoffs start last weekend? All I saw was just a bunch of games featuring some severely outmatched teams.
It was a bit of a snooze fest, wasn't it?
Gosh. Wild card weekend was meant to be super. Anything but super. Yeah. Like there's a rhyming saying over here for nightmare, and it's Western Supermare. So that's what you say. So you're saying if you're having a nightmare, you say you're having a Western Supermare. But there was nothing super about wild card weekend. It was a nightmare for the NFL. Yes, the ratings would have been great, but I'm sure the ratings were great for the first half of Buccaneers versus Eagles, and then they were dreadful for the second half. I'm sure the ratings was very good for the first half of the Chiefs versus Steelers, but then it was dreadful for the second half. I hate to be a dead horse. Well, I don't actually, because I like being right about this particular point.
Right.
But why? Just why are we having 2 vs 7 matchups in the playoffs? What's going on? Why are we adding Monday night football games in the playoffs? Why are we adding teams like the Pittsburgh Steelers coming against the Kansas City Chiefs? Why are the Philadelphia Eagles playing the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? I just don't get it. This weekend, for all the excitement around the playoffs, it just felt like the most unplayoff-like weekend ever. Yeah, we had that exciting finish in Cincinnati. Yeah, we had a semi-exciting, quite hilarious finish in Dallas. But overall, out of 6 games, for 2 of them to be competitive, it's just piss poor, to be honest, from the NFL. And I expect much better.
It should be called the participation trophy round, shouldn't it?
Yeah, basically.
I think that's probably what it should be. Well done, Steelers. Well done, Raiders. You got into the playoffs. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Well done. But go on now. Let the big boys play now. And that's what it felt like in this game. All of those games, even over in the NFC side, a lot of it was just easily predictable. There was no real kind of big upsets. It was flat as a fart, really, wasn't it, mate? It, like you said, it wasn't super or anything.
No, and I know a lot of people will turn around and say, well, the Patriots got battered and they were the fifth seed. Yeah, that's fine. But last year, the fifth seed won the Super Bowl from the NFC.
Yeah.
So we've seen evidence in the past that a fifth seed or a sixth seed can go on to win the Super Bowl. It does happen. It's extremely hard for it to happen, but it does happen. I just cannot see any scenario where a team like the Pittsburgh Steelers or the Philadelphia Eagles are going to be capable of putting four road wins on the trot to make it the Super Bowl. They're just not that good. The difference in class between the division winners and the seventh seed is just, frankly, it's far too great. And the NFL will be happy because, yeah, they've got the ratings, but the product suffers. It really does suffer. Like, it's going to be hard to like try and pull people in to watch these 2 versus 7 games next year. People probably will because we're mad for the NFL and that's what the NFL is playing on. But it's just a tough, tough, tough watch. And I need to remember this conversation next year when it comes to playoff weekend, not to get all hyped and to build my entire weekend around these dross games.
Well, they seemed to get it right for the Week 18 additional game, didn't they? They seemed to have got that right.
Yeah, that seemed to work.
And that seemed to inject quite a lot of enthusiasm in, obviously, fan bases that didn't really think that they'd have a chance of actually getting into the playoffs this year, i.e. the Steelers. But when you got into the big boy football, it really didn't deliver, did it? And like you were saying, packaging it up as a super wild card weekend, it just didn't feel like it. Nobody wanted those matches. Let's put it that way. Nobody wanted those matchups that were on the bracket at all, really, because there was too much of a mismatch in quite a number of those games. Like we said, the Patriots, yes, they were the fifth seed, but for me, the Patriots this year were really overhyped. I just felt like they were, and we were waiting for the Patriots' demise in the playoffs, and I think everybody knew it was going to happen in this game as well.
Yeah, against a different opponent, the Patriots might have had more success. I appreciate the fact that we're talking about the 7 seed specifically, and you just had to get a dig in at the Patriots.
Yeah.
Not to call you obsessed or anything like that. You stick the knife in when you can. But I've got a stat here regarding the 7 seeds and the 2 years that they've had this format. And so far, in 4 games, the 7 seeds are 0-4, unsurprisingly. And they've been outscored 121 points to 69.
Really?
Like, so far. That's not good. Yeah. That's not a good product. Yeah, I think it was the Colts that ran the Bills close last year. But last year's Bills were so strange, such a strange playoff team in terms of the second seed, that you kind of forgive that result there. They hadn't been there properly in a little while. You know, Josh Allen's first postseason, you kind of get it. Or it might have been his second postseason, rather.
Yeah.
But the rest of the teams, the Bears lost 21-9. The Steelers got battered by the Chiefs and the Eagles got battered by the Buccaneers. Like, what are we doing here? Why are we risking the health of Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes for these teams? Like, what are we doing? There's no need. If Patrick Mahomes got injured on Sunday and then he has to sit out divisional weekend and then potentially the Chiefs lose, the NFL doesn't achieve anything.
Yeah.
That's no good. Is that worth the ratings boost you have on that one week and that one weekend? No. Like, Tom Brady could have got injured. I know you could say Tom Brady could get injured at any point, but there is the added risk. You've already added an extra game to the Kansas City Chiefs schedule, and the same with the Tampa Buccaneers. You've added that 17th game into the regular season, and then you've taken the bye away from them as well, and you're forcing them to play essentially 2 extra games that they would have done 2 years ago being in the same position. That's 2 more games. That's 2 more chances of risking being injured.
Yeah.
I just don't like it. Give back. Get rid of that 7th seed. Give the 2 seed back their bye. And let's go back to the way it was. Because the way it was wasn't broken.
Yeah.
It was perfect. And this is my bugbear with the NFL. We've had this conversation a number of times. They micromanage. They are like, you've got that boss that wants to be involved with everything and wants to go, well, what are you doing there? What are you doing there? Why don't you do it this way? Maybe we should change that and do it this way. That's what the NFL is. Every single
year. Leave it alone. Just leave it alone.
If it's not broke, don't fix it. Like, come on. You have a fantastic product, yet you continuously want to get involved with it and tweak it here and there to try and make it bigger and better. Yes, some changes are necessary, but some of them aren't. And more importantly, this playoff scenario, this playoff format, it isn't necessary, and it just has to go.
Well, especially this round, because it's like it's not prestigious enough. It doesn't feel like it's a prestigious part of the playoffs. I mean, yeah, the next round is. I mean, wild card never really kind of was, but at least it kind of worked to a point where you're giving somebody a chance. Yeah. Here, it just felt like you're giving everybody a chance, didn't it? Anybody, yeah, exactly. Anybody, and everybody. Yeah, come on, get a participation trophy, and you know, come and have a bit of a knees up with the big wigs. You know, it just felt like the prestige has gone out of the playoff setup,
mm-hmm.
and we had to get rid of these dross games just to get into the meaty stuff. And now here we are into the divisional round, and I agree with you, mate. It just needs looking at. They've got to sort it out.
You know it's going to go the other way. They're more likely to land an 18 than a 7th. Yeah. Yeah, you just know it's going to happen. They're going to say, oh, we get the second seed, their bye back, but we're going to introduce another playoff team. There's going to be 8 playoff teams. I give up. I just don't understand how you could potentially have a league where half the teams make the playoffs. Like, what is the point in the regular season if you're going to have half the teams making the playoffs?
Yeah,
there is no point. People point to the NBA and go, well, it happens in the NBA. In fact, you get over 50% of the teams in the playoffs. Yeah, but what happens? Every single year, the one seed plays the 8 seed and the 8 seed get battered in five or six games.
Yeah.
Sometimes 4. That's what happens. And it's not particularly good to watch. It's a foregone conclusion. And that's what these games were this weekend, especially in the case of the Bucks and the Chiefs game.
Yeah.
But anyways, let's move on from that.
Yeah, well, I just want to say, actually, before we leave that, yes, although it was really pretty much boring games, there was some funny things that actually happened this week.
Yeah.
First of all, let's just talk about the Bills and the unfortunate adult toy that landed in the end zone. The amount of people that screenshotted that at that moment in time, wanting to be the first to report that there was a adult toy on
use the nickname that you saw. You can use that nickname because that's technically not its name.
Yeah, the nickname that's going around is a Bildo. Just tell me that. I thought it was a good name for it. Whoever dreamt that up, that was brilliant. But apparently that's not the first time that a Bildo has been thrown on the field before, apparently.
It's crazy, isn't it? First of all, you've got that guy in Jacksonville a few weeks ago who's dressed like Trevor Lawrence standing in the end zone when they're scoring a touchdown. And then all of a sudden in Buffalo, you've got a Bildo. I love that time. Being thrown into the end zone. It's almost my most favourite Bildo moment. But I think there's another moment that's famous here in England regarding an adult toy, shall we say. And it goes back to what we have over here, something called Transfer Deadline Day. We talked about it on a show many, many months ago, one of our first Great British Chief shows for Arrowhead Pride. It's where Transfer Deadline Day is the day when it's the deadline for making transfers in football.
It's the last day that you can spend so
it's
cash.
It's the final day. You've got that one day to spend as much money as you can, buy players then. After that, deadline closes, you can't buy any more players. Well, Sky Sports News, our equivalent of ESPN, CBS, that type of thing, they made a huge deal of this. They still do. They make a huge deal of it because they know that their ratings are going to go up. Everyone's tuning in to find out what's going on. And what they used to do, they used to have reporters at training grounds and outside football stadiums seeing, oh, Lionel Messi's been seen here, Thierry Henry's been seen here, blah, 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 blah. And they're reporting on it live. And more often than not, they used to ask fans to stand behind them. Well, originally, the fans were very well behaved. Very civil, stand there, clap, give it all that. But then the fans started to become a little bit more brave and started messing with the reporters. And there's a famous clip that you can Google or look on YouTube of a Sky Sports News reporter standing there. And all of a sudden, all you can see is this Everton fan appear out of nowhere and run up to the reporter and shove what we called an adult toy or a Bildo in the ear of the reporter. It's fame. It's a huge, really famous television moment over here. And it was actually the tipping point for Sky Sports News. From that point there on, they decided that they would no longer report in front of fans and actually went inside training grounds and inside stadiums.
Spot the pun there, tipping point. He got a buzz out of it.
Oh, I really hope that people have just paused this show and just gone to YouTube and typed in Sky Sports News adult toy. I just really hope they have. And if they have, leave a 5-star review. Tell us what you thought of the video.
Yeah.
Because
Tom bringing that into your life.
Specifically mention what happens in the video and say what you thought about it, because then Pete has to read it on the editor's show, not knowing what it's about, because I doubt he listens to us. So if you want to hear Pete Sweeney talking about an adult toy on next week's editor's show, then
what are they on about? Oh yeah, well it was a great moment, it really was. And clearly, the Bills Bildor moment was a funny one as well, which a lot of people are remembering. But the other funny thing that happened in the playoffs, and the last thing that I'm going to talk about on the playoffs for this, is the Cowboys calamity right at the end. Yeah. I mean, I didn't watch the game, but you told me, Brad, if you watch anything today, watch the end of the Cowboys game, of just how crazy an ending it was. And it really was. I mean, Dak Prescott, apparently he's apologized in the media, to the media as well at the moment, about his comments about the referees. But I can understand how he feels, because he's trying to win a game, emotions are running high, and the game ends like it does, right? I mean, I know he can't blame the refs for that, clearly not, but he had to get some frustration out, I think, and to see how that was done at the end. I don't know what that referee was doing. He was trying to put the ball through his legs. He was trying to snap it himself, wasn't he?
The referee is not to blame in this situation whatsoever. The Cowboys cannot spot their own ball. They have to pass it to a referee, and the referee has to spot it in line with the side judge. I just don't understand why the Cowboys fans are so angry at the referees. Why Dak Prescott is so angry at the referees. Yeah, they called a tit for tat game, but it was 6-1, half a dozen other. Swings and roundabouts. Things happen like this in the playoffs. The referees certainly weren't biased towards the 49ers. Dak Prescott should be venting his frustration at Kellen Moore for calling a QB draw with 14 seconds left. They had more than enough time to take two shots at the end zone. They were lucky they were in that situation anyway, because the 49ers certainly helped them out with that to allow them the opportunity to go down and win the game. But when they were in such a prime position, the Cowboys, 14 seconds, two shots at the end zone from about 35, 40 yards. I like that. As far as last minute comebacks go, it's a small chance you can make it, but it's still a chance. It's still an opportunity. Go and put your biggest, bestest pass catchers up against smaller DBs and see what you can make happen. Mm-hmm. Loads of time. But they took that away for themselves, not because the referee took a while to spot the ball. It was just a terrible play call. And it was comical. The whole thing was just so funny. From the window, letting too much sunlight, causing Cowboys receivers to drop passes, to the coaches calling that play. Because I actually put it in this week's Power Rankings. It's I don't understand how an architect or a coach hasn't been fired in Dallas in the last 3 days, because the whole thing was just calamitous. Jerry Jones, you are never getting your Super Bowl whilst you continue to hire people like Mike McCarthy and a blind architect. It's just not going to happen.
Blind architect. Oh man. Right. Okay, we'll leave the playoff talk there, but we'll get on to the Steelers game, because this game, I was a little bit nervous at the beginning of this game. And I think you and I both were. And I know you were as well, because we were on a Zoom call together, weren't we? We were watching this early hours of the morning with our good friend Sam. And this first quarter was, oh my God, what's going on? This Chiefs team has reverted back to kind of what it was at the beginning of the season. We can't get anything going. Mahomes can't click with his receivers. It just felt as though history was almost repeating again, wasn't it?
Yeah. Big shout out to Mecole Hardman for getting this team going in another playoff game.
Yeah. Inadvertently going out of the way.
Yeah. So, This guy just finds a way to get this team going in the playoffs. It happened against the Texans 24 24-0 down. He has the big kickoff return, and you know, that sparked some life into his team. They went on and scored 28 unanswered points in the second quarter alone of that game. And then this one on Sunday, the Chiefs are drawing 0-0, tying 0-0. Mecole Hardman, Darrell Williams. They run the read option with Mecole Hardman at QB, and they fumble. TJ Watt scores, and next thing you know, they woke a beast. the Chiefs were the Chiefs. So yeah, before we get into specifics, I just want to shout out Mecole Hardman for being the catalyst for yet another dominant playoff victory.
He knew what he was doing. He knew what he was doing. Yeah, it was a shaky start, very worrying start, and I can completely sympathise with everybody in Chiefs Kingdom on at the beginning of that, because come on, be honest, mate. That start was not great, was it? I mean, I didn't actually think that we were going to lose the game.
No,
I didn't think that in the back of my mind at all. I knew that the Steelers weren't that good, but when it was the Chiefs beating themselves again, I was thinking, oh God, here we go again. You know, the Chiefs are doing it to themselves. They're going to make it hard work for themselves. And you know, if that game suddenly, if we were like 14 points down, again, I still believe that the Chiefs are going to come back from that and, you know, rectify the problems. But it just felt like, oh God, it's going to happen again. But it had the opposite effect. It just suddenly ignited this team to go, oh, come on, let's stop faffing about.
Yeah.
Let's stop it with the, well, I was going to say, let's stop it with these trick players. But later on, they did do some more trick players, didn't they, with Travis Kelce. But we'll get on to that in a minute. There wasn't a point there where I thought, we're not going through to the next round here.
No, but my frustrations were more about the bigger picture as opposed to that particular game. Like you, I believe the Chiefs would win that game, even when TJ Watt scored that touchdown. I wasn't worried at all. Like, I was frustrated, but I wasn't worried about that particular game. My frustrations normally probably come from the fact that the Bills were so dominant the night before.
Yeah,
against the Patriots. And I think that was swaying my thinking a little bit, because we talk about teams getting hot coming into the playoffs and then trying to carry that through, where the Bills have come in quite hot into the playoffs. And at that point, we already knew that the Bills would be our opponent. So I think it stemmed from there. We wanted to see the Chiefs at least match what the Bills done the night before.
Yeah.
Or certainly try and get up there. And they just weren't. They come out really slow out the gates. And like, maybe the Chiefs just thought, this Steelers team, they don't deserve to be here. And they were trying to get through a game with their B-plus performance. And at the time, it just wasn't good enough. They couldn't get anything going on offense. Every time they got the ball into a favorable position, they turned it over, or a bonehead drop, or a penalty or something just ended up pushing them back. We were punting when we probably shouldn't have been. Why we were scared of Ben Roethlisberger getting the ball at halfway line, I do not know. Like, after seeing them go like three and out four times in a row, what are we doing there? Like, let's put some faith in this defense and put some faith in the offensive guys and go for it. But when Mecole Hardman and Darrell Williams had their moment, something happened. You put it rightly. They had that stop faffing about moment. Let's just get
stop
on
with this. Faffing about
and let's deal with this. And I think the whole team, the lot. Defense, offense, just all just like decided, actually, no, this B-plus performance isn't going to be good enough. We need to take this up. Let's give the Steelers our A game for 10 and a half minutes, and then this game will be over. And it's exactly what happened.
Mm-hmm. This game actually threw up quite a few new things that we haven't actually really seen during the season. You mentioned it when we were watching via the Zoom call. There was a lovely fade, wasn't there, for a touchdown. And yeah. It's not something that the Chiefs are really kind of renowned for, with a play like that. But
Patrick Mahomes throwing a pump fake.
Yeah.
Jesus. God.
Yeah.
Almost needed my adult toy. It's just rare to see that kind of route combination.
Yeah,
like, it's
weird.
It's not often that you see, like, you see Patrick Mahomes get guys with his eyes. Very rarely does he get guys with his arm. And you just had, like, I just cannot remember the last time you saw a receiver run into the end zone and just have a ball drop into his lap.
Yeah. Literally, like, on his lap.
Doesn't doesn't happen with this Chiefs offense. We've said for years, like, do you remember the years watching Brady and, well, you can still watch it now, but Brady and Gronk, when they were that absolute peak of their powers, every time it got to like within 10 yards, it would just be like, all right, off you go, Gronk, run a fade, and then just let him body a guy out and let him win. It was just nice to see receivers kind of do the same. And obviously it helps when you've got Patrick Mahomes throwing one hell of a pump fake in there. Yeah. Let's see more of the same. It's a little bit something else adding to the arsenal. Maybe they've been saving that for the whole season. Maybe they thought maybe giving it out in the playoffs.
And that's what I've been wondering. Yeah. I've been wondering like you, like whether they've actually thought, you know, we'll keep that, we'll save that. Maybe they've opened up a special playoff playbook that maybe. Is like, you know, it's been sat in a glass case. In one Arrowhead Drive, just waiting for the playoffs to start, and you know, in case of emergency, break glass, and Andy Reid just smashed the glass and brought out this wonderful playbook, because it wasn't just that play. There was other plays in there that were just like, this is vintage, the vintage Chiefs that we're watching. Vintage is in like the last 5 years, but the other thing that was really really a plus point, and it's something that. Can't believe I'm going to say this, but I've been crying out for this team to use more often screens.
Yeah.
Using Jerick McKinnon in screens. I mean, I actually saw a tweet today from Ron Kopp, who obviously works for Arrowhead Pride as well. And he did a video kind of montage of the screens that were put together. And they were brilliant. It was just everything worked. We got massive chunk plays out of them. Mm-hmm. Everything is just, it just felt different this time. It felt like we're in playoff mode now. We flicked the switch. We're out of the season mode. We were in cruising mode back then, but now we're in playoff mode. And I just think this playbook has injected some life into the Chiefs finally.
See, I hear this point a lot about saving stuff for the playoffs, but I really struggle with this thought process, because if the Chiefs had like had the number one seed locked up, and they had battered every team with the regular season / boring version of the playoff playbook, then I kind of get it. But the Chiefs were like bad at one point this season, like genuinely really bad on offense for about 2-3-4 weeks.
Yeah,
but we didn't see this playbook then. Surely that's when this playbook was needed, because there was so much at risk. Yeah. I struggle with the thought process of it. Oh, he's whacked out this playbook now, save for the playoffs. I think it's more so to do with confidence in the offense itself and how they're playing, as to whether he tries these certain things, whether he brings out certain plays. If he knows that the offense is cooking, and they're more likely to execute how he asks, maybe that's why he brings out the plays. Not necessarily because the situation dictates to it, because they're in the playoffs. Do you know what I'm trying to say?
Because I don't, mate. Because I'm still stuck on this fabled playoff book that's in the glass case. That's what I'm looking forward to seeing. I want to see it in gold or something. You know, just when you open it up, it goes,
oh, I thought we were going to be like some Holy Grail. Oh.
It is, yeah. That is Holy Grail.
Well, do you know what? I was meant to do Holy Grail music then. I was just doing the Halo main theme tune.
Getting your wires crossed there, mate. No, but don't destroy that vision, mate. Just don't destroy that vision of me having this wonderful playbook that just Andy Reid gets out now and again.
And they've all got hoods on. They all come round. All of them. Candles in their hand.
putting Derek Carr as a sacrifice. It's the football gods.
I don't think they've sacrificed Derek Carr. I just think they might have sacrificed Derek Carr's hairdresser. Jesus. When was the last time that dude saw a barber? Come on. He looks like a tramp.
He does. You know, but did you not see what they were calling it? They were calling it the Home Alone Bowl, weren't they?
Yeah.
Because one of the wet bandits, was it? What was his name? Not Marv, the other one. It was Marv, wasn't it?
It is Marv, yeah.
Marv and they had Burrow as Kevin. It was funny. It really looks like
quite good.
Yeah, it is good. That's the thing with this. Everyone seems to have had a bit of a fun with it as well, haven't they? They seem to have had a bit of fun with all of the playoffs, especially in this this round. It's almost kind of been Mickey taken in a way, but the this divisional round is definitely going to be the serious part of it. But going back to the game, going back to the Steelers, a couple of more plays that we want to talk about here is clearly the Travis Kelce one to, was it Pringle? It was Pringle, wasn't it?
Yeah.
The pass to, he could have thrown
DeMarcus Robinson.
Might have been DeMarcus Robinson. I can't remember who it was. I can't remember who it was now. It was just a wonderful play. And he's been waiting 9 years for that. Been waiting for 9 years for a touchdown pass. And Patrick Mahomes clearly wanted a receiving touchdown as well. So they could have had two for one in one play there, didn't they? But Kelce was like, no, I'm just going to take the real easy option here and just throw a touchdown. I'm
pretty annoyed because I remember being on this show. One of my bold predictions was that Patrick Mahomes was going to catch a touchdown pass this year. And I thought that was going to be the moment. He was wide open. I know you shouldn't probably risk Patrick Mahomes in the passing game, especially in the playoffs, but he was wider than wide open. And I wouldn't have blamed Travis if he did, Paul. And
I think he had Andy Reid in his ear going, nope. Nope, don't you dare.
It would have been funny, actually, to see the reaction of Andy Reid had he gone against his wishes in court. And Patrick Mahomes ended up catching a touchdown pass, albeit in a really safe way. But it would have been interesting to hear what Andy Reid said after the game, because I don't think he would have been best pleased about
putting Patrick in harm's way.
Yeah, man.
Even though he's wide open.
Travis Kelce would have been minced up for a hamburger.
But no, it was great. That it was really good, and I did actually see his mum interviewed him after the game. Did you see that as well?
Yeah,
Mama Kelce was there. I mean, credit to her as well for being at the game, because she was over at the Eagles game, wasn't she? Watching Jason Kelce, and then she flew over to KC and watched Travis Kelce and managed to get to see the touchdown pass that he threw. So it was brilliant from her and the family point standpoint. You know, really good.
Yeah, well, her sons have delivered her a very lavish lifestyle. So it's come on, let's
It's your mum at the end of the day. You know,
I know. Your mum and a lot of mums would do the same. Really good. Well done, Mama Kelce. But you kind of expect it.
Yeah. You want limos and everything there, don't you? You want all of that.
They bought that Concorde for Travis Kelce's mum just so he could make the game.
Can you imagine Concorde landing in KC Airport? It's not the biggest, is it? It's not the biggest airport. Sidetracked again. We'll go back to the game. But one other play that I really, really wanted to talk about was something that really got us off our seats. And it was the Nick Allegretti touchdown, the big man touchdown, which it was almost Joe Valerio-esque type of football, wasn't it? And believe it or not, he wears the same number as well.
Yeah, I'm just wondering whether you knew who that was before Sunday.
No, I didn't. I actually knew of him because I've looked him up before and I've watched some of the games where he's played, and I do remember his face. He's got a very recognisable face. But when they mentioned Joe Valerio, I thought, hang on a minute, I know about him, so I'm going to have to go back and check up on him. But amazing how the Chiefs had that confidence again, isn't it, to dial up something like that, and how Allegretti managed to hold up JJ Watt, sling him to the ground.
Don't be Al Michaels. It's TJ Watt.
Poor TJ Watt. What did I say?
You said JJ. Poor TJ Watt was being called JJ Watt all through the broadcast.
Well, he was, wasn't he? Yeah.
So come on, give him his credit. He's better. TJ Watt. It's TJ.
Yeah. I'll cut that out. Don't worry. He managed to hold up TJ Watt, sling him to the ground, TJ Watt, and just be wide open in the end zone. And it was just beautiful. It was just magnificent how all that kind of played out, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. I'm annoyed.
Why are you annoyed?
There was no need to run that play there and then.
No, I kind of agree with you there. They could have used it.
Why aren't we saving that for the Bills? Like,
Well, they might. They might have some other kind of, you know, routes or other kind of angles that they're going
to. There might be another meeting this week with more hoods and more playbooks going unboxed this weekend, for all we know. But yeah, like, don't use your best stuff. Not quite yet. Save it for this week. There was no need to pile on the Steelers with those type of plays. As fun as it was, and it was a lot of fun, it reminded me of the Dontari Poe touchdown against the Broncos on Christmas Day when the Chiefs absolutely had no need to run that play whatsoever. They just decided to pile on the Broncos. That's kind of what it felt like. The Andy Reid just was like, wanted to like show his big balls at that time. And he was like this is me. This is what I can do to any team at any point. And by the way, he's back up left guard and center for a catch a touchdown pass. It was the most bonkers game.
Yeah.
From how poorly it started to how quickly it got out of hand and to how much the Chiefs were taking the mickey out of the Steelers by the end of it. It was fun. Like, let's be honest, but for everything that I'm saying about 2 versus 7, it was fun for us. It wasn't fun for anyone else. But for us Chiefs fans, it was fun to see our team play like that for a little while. Do I agree with the game going ahead? Absolutely not. But in terms of a game that we have to play, if that's what we have to part with, then I'm absolutely fine with it. It is what it is at this point. Yes, I didn't want the game to go ahead, but when the Chiefs finally got into gear, they started firing all cylinders, and it was just a mistake. To be honest, it was good fun to watch.
It was a piss take for Ben Roethlisberger's final game in the NFL. This is what you're gonna miss, Ben. Respect where respect's due. You know, you've got to say that Ben Roethlisberger has had a very good career in the NFL, a glittering career in the NFL. He's been, you know, one of the most devastating quarterbacks to watch and teams play against. But he's been a patch of his former self, hasn't he? In the last couple of seasons, let's say. It's been a couple of seasons too long for Ben Roethlisberger. And I thought Andy Reid was going to go easy on him. He just clearly didn't, did he?
At the end, when they were trying to score a touchdown to get him that final passing touchdown of his career, I did find it funny that Spags just wasn't like...
He was having none of it, was he?
He's just like, no, you're not having this drive. it's not going to happen. A bit ruthless. I probably would have... No, I wouldn't have. Nah.
Would you let him out?
I'm glad they done what they did. I thought it was funny. It was good fun.
If he didn't want to retire, then they made him retire after that game, really, didn't they?
He put it in
no doubt at all in his mind that he's thinking, I've got to get out of this game now because it's passed me by massively now.
It's a young man's game. That's what he was coming away saying.
If he had any second thoughts about thinking, do you know what, I might give it another season, that game was like, nah. Nailed in for sure. Oh, right then. What a good start to the show, mate. We'll take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll look at the Arrowhead Pride power rankings. And then we'll look towards the Buffalo Bills in the divisional playoff matchup.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hi there, and welcome back to the Great British Chiefs Show with Brad and Tom. We're going to look at the Arrowhead Pride Power Rankings this time, and a bit of a difference in this one, because I normally go for the top five, and I know ask who's top and who's bottom, etc., etc., but let's just look at the top eight this week, obviously with it due to the playoffs. The top eight this week, Tom, let's start from eight and work our way up. Let's okay, do it like Colin Cowherd, but better.
Okay, so to be clear, this top eight are the remaining eight. The Arrowhead Pride team firmly believe that the remaining eight are the best eight in the NFL. And I tend to agree based on what we've seen last few weeks. So in at eight are San Francisco 49ers. I didn't have them there myself. I had them a little bit higher, but I think they're a dangerous team. Right? The Packers hate playing the 49ers in the playoffs. They've had so many bad memories of playing them. They're really looking to avenge some previous losses there. So yeah, the 49ers at eight. And in seven, Cincinnati Bengals, they've dropped recently. I think people are buying into the hype a bit too much earlier on when they beat the Chiefs, but they kind of come down a pick or two. Then in sixth, the Tennessee Titans, they must be the most disrespected number one seed of all time. Like, considering the Packers are number one, spoiler alert, in this list, and the Titans are sixth, it's mad. It's mad to me, but, you know, here's what it is.
I can agree with that, though. I can agree with the way they're placed, though.
I don't know. Maybe we'll have this conversation next week. In fifth, the LA Rams. In fourth, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And then this is where it gets interesting. Who's higher out of the Bills and the Chiefs? Originally, if you asked me this question during the first quarter of the Chiefs game or after the first quarter of the Chiefs game, I would have said the Buffalo Bills. Mm. But the Chiefs come out, done what they've done, proved themselves that they can be dominant again. And they're in the number two and the Bills are number three. Whoever wins will be number two next week, for sure. A lot of people are talking about this Chiefs-Bills game as the AFC Championship game, which I think is a tad disrespectful to the Titans.
I'm one of those people.
I do think it's a tad disrespectful to the Titans, but I can't say it too much because just I did actually say that in the rankings themselves. But I'll openly admit that I am disrespectful sometimes, so it's absolutely fine.
Sometimes. So the Packers number one, huh? I would agree with that. I think the Packers are looking very strong at the minute. So, yeah. Oh, well, no, I would actually agree with that Arrowhead Pride power ranking. I really would. I watched the Colin Cowherd one recently and I was like, what is he doing? Where is he going with that? But yeah, the AP one, I think it's a bit more realistic, I think, for that. Right then. Divisional playoff. We're here against the Bills. It didn't go particularly well in the seasonal game. The Chiefs were obviously going through a bit of a rut, almost like a fact-finding mission for themselves, wasn't it? Trying to find themselves a little bit in this season. And the Bills, it's fair to say that they kind of tore strips off us at that point, winning 38-20. Now, I know fans can blame the fact that the Chiefs' defense wasn't great. I'll agree with that. It wasn't great. But throwing in the fact that it was injuries and stuff, yeah, I can kind of understand in a way that, you know, you've got some players with knocks, you've got some injured players not probably playing as many snaps, etc. I think, I know CEH actually got injured early this game, wasn't it? So there's your kind of number one RB is out of the game. I think Kelsey got knocked later on with a bit of a concussion, but again, he played most of the game already anyway. So yeah. I don't think it was down to the injuries. I just think it was down to the Chiefs just clearly not being on the same page. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, it's hard for me to sit here and put too much stock into a game that happened three and a half months ago.
Yeah, October, mate. Yeah.
All right. These teams are completely different. The Bills are a completely different team. The Chiefs are a completely different team than they were back in October or the end of September, whenever the game was played. So it's hard for me to sit and go, oh, we're going to lose because we lost in week five.
Yeah.
I know that's what Bills fans are thinking. Bills fans are looking at that week five game.
Oh, they've been screenshotting it.
And they're using that as, well, of course we're going to win. Look what we've done to you already this season.
Yeah.
Well, we could turn around and say, well, look what happened five games before that or six games before that in the AFC Championship game last year. Look what happened the last time these two teams actually met in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Very similar squads. These rosters haven't changed that much, apart from the Chiefs offensive line, of course. Haven't changed that much in the last 12 months. and the Chiefs absolutely dominated. But that's not what sport is. You can't play sport in the past. We're not Liverpool fans. Like, we can't carry on going on about the past. The past is pretty much irrelevant right now. We need to concentrate on the present and how do you assess these two teams right now. Mm. What I see is two teams that are extremely even matched. That on their day, offensively, can be the best team in the league. That on their day, defensively, they can be a top five unit. It's just about what happens on the day, whose mind is like, who's less nervous, who turns up on the day. And up until this weekend, I felt the Bills were more locked in, more wired in to get into the Super Bowl. I felt that they kind of was like 2019 Chiefs.
Yeah.
Had that whole thinking of destiny. They deserve to be there. It's only a matter of time they're going to get there. Probably hungrier than the Chiefs. It's safe to say.
Yeah.
But I think we saw something in the second quarter of this Steelers game and in the third quarter of this Steelers game where the Chiefs kind of announced themselves on this season a little.
Feeling naughty.
We've said that a few times this year. We said it against the Raiders, we said it against the Chargers, but they're regular season games. This was the playoffs.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, you look to this Chiefs team and you think, yeah, they really do want to win. Like Andy Reid talked about it like a couple of days ago, about it being chocolate cake, and they want more chocolate cake.
Yeah.
And all they want to do is to stop the Bills from stealing their cake. This is the hardest game of the season to predict.
It
without
is.
Without a shadow of a doubt.
I agree, yeah.
I've been going back and forth on this one when we get to a prediction where I felt like the Week 5 game was a really easy game to predict because the Chiefs were playing so bad at the time. The Bills were playing pretty hard. They built their roster to beat the Chiefs. They were just a better team than the Chiefs in Week 5. So I found that kind of easy. In fact, I predicted on this show that the Chiefs would lose that game. I predicted on the AP website that they would lose that game. And they did. But this time around, I'm having a real tough time picking the winner because both teams are just elite. Like, so, so good. They played each other 10 times. Your maximum one team's winning is 6. Like, none of these teams are going to win 7, 8, 9 games against each other. It's going to be like 6 out of 10 at the absolute most.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. It is going to be difficult because, like I said, in the previous game, not the Chiefs Bills previous game, but in the previous game, obviously in the wild card, the super wild card, both teams really kind of just drowned out the opposition, didn't they? But like you said, you'd expect that with the class or the caliber of the team they were playing against. But watching the Bills, we've said it time and time again, and I know you said it as well. The Bills are set up to beat the Chiefs. They look as though they are as dynamic as the Chiefs. They look as though they've got the weapons like the Chiefs have. They just seem as though if they can get Josh Allen to play like Patrick Mahomes in a big game like this, because we saw it in the last time he's met in the playoffs, that Josh Allen didn't really show up, and that's what kind of affected this. It stuttered the team, doesn't it? It completely ground them to a halt, and the Chiefs had the way with them. So with Josh Allen revisiting Arrowhead again, is that going to be a factor in this? I think this really does come down to two quarterbacks, and it's easy to say that, especially analysis and stuff like that. It is easy to say that it's quarterback versus quarterback, but this really is down to if both quarterbacks play the best level of football, we could be in for an absolute magical game.
No doubt. If both quarterbacks turn up and play their A game, then good luck defenses. But I don't expect both quarterbacks to play their A game.
No.
I think one of them will. I just don't know which one will. Obviously, we've seen it in the past that Mahomes in the playoffs is lights out. But this version of Josh Allen that we're seeing at the moment is unplayable.
Yeah.
Whether it's through the air or on the ground, he is moving the sticks and moving this team into the end zone at will. And it just comes down to him, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, yeah.
We can talk about Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes will be Patrick Mahomes. That's fine. But this game hangs on how Josh Allen plays.
It does.
The whole game.
How he handles that pressure.
If Josh Allen is bad, the Chiefs will walk this game.
Yeah.
If Josh Allen is really good and been playing how he has been, then Patrick Mahomes is going to have to be a Patrick Mahomes we've not seen in the playoffs before. Better than any Patrick Mahomes we've seen before.
Yeah.
Because if we're being honest, the Bills are probably slightly more complete than the Chiefs. They probably have slightly more on defense than the Chiefs. Offensively, they're just moving the ball. Wasn't it seven touchdown drives in a row that they scored against the Patriots?
Yeah, they didn't have a punter.
Bill Belichick led Patriots defense.
Yeah.
That's something that Patrick Mahomes hasn't done against Bill Belichick.
Mm.
He's had success at quarter of the time or in second half, but he hasn't come out the gates and dominated Bill Belichick.
No.
Not once. And you can say, right, it's a divisional opponent. The Bills know the Patriots better than anyone, blah, 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 blah. But they were dominant.
Yeah.
On Saturday night. Yeah, the Patriots were bad, but the Bills were just flat out scary. And that version of Josh Allen for this Chiefs defense, I think it's a bit of a mismatch. I do. I think the way that the Chiefs defend running quarterbacks and can pass is a concern to me. Yeah, they've had some success in the past, but people like they let Jalen Hurts go for how many yards in Philadelphia? Mm. They let Lamar Jackson absolutely dominate them this season. Josh Allen has already dominated them once this season.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like the kryptonite for this Chiefs defense, this type of quarterback. So if Josh Allen has his A game, then it could be a really long one.
Yeah, it really could. And both teams really don't have any issues with their injuries at the minute either. I mean, yeah, there's the odd player and some of the, you know, deeper roster players that have got injuries or picked up injuries.
Yeah.
But the only noticeable ones at the minute are for the Chiefs. We've got CEH, who is struggling with his shoulder injury at the moment. But it also seems to be that Mario Addison as well, their sack leader. Now, that could be a significant point in this game. Their sack leader is actually day-to-day. We've all heard that term before, haven't we? Day-to-day. But with Mario Addison now, it could be one of those little chinks in that armour that we're looking at from the Bills that... And it's obviously something that directly affects how Patrick Mahomes will play as well. If their sack leader's out, you'd expect Patrick Mahomes to be on fire in this game, wouldn't you?
Yeah, but he was on fire on Sunday. And he saw more pressure on Sunday than he's seen in a long time. I think he got sacked three times in on Sunday. When was the last time that he got sacked three times in a game?
Yeah.
So the Chiefs' offensive line's been protecting Mahomes pretty well of late, but even still, he can manage to get that ball out. I think the Bills secondary has, like, whoever's running that defensive backfield deserves an award because they lost Trey White and they've not skipped a beat.
No, they haven't.
They're playing so well at the moment against passing off against anyone that wants to try and pass them. And you've got like players like Micah Hyde, like that play that he made the other night on Mac Jones. That was not a bad ball by Mac Jones by any means.
No.
It was in a spot. And Michael Hyde just come out of nowhere from the backside and just made an elite play for a safety.
That was brilliant. That was lovely, wasn't it? He just literally picked it out of the air, didn't he? It just dropped on him.
Yeah. I don't want to sit here and be, oh, this is a really pro Bills podcast. It's not. I just really appreciate good football.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bills are one of those two. Like we sat here and talked about how bad the seven seed are. We're going to talk about how bad they are. Let's talk about how good the other teams are, the ones that deserve to be there.
Yeah.
The Bills deserve to be there. And this is like a heavyweight clash. We joked earlier about it being the AFC Championship game in waiting. Like, yes, whilst I do think that's disrespectful to the Titans, because if they beat the Bengals, they are going to be hosting the AFC Championship game for real. Yeah. This game is just... it's just huge. It's the biggest game of the weekend. It's the biggest AFC Championship game we've seen since the 2018 game.
Yeah.
Brady versus Mahomes. It definitely is. And it's an absolute monster of a clash. And I really want to prolong this podcast for as long as I can so I can think about a prediction, because I don't really want to hang my hat on the result just yet.
But no, you're right. It is one of those games that, you know, they don't come around too often, and especially when they're coming into the playoffs. You know, and you've got two teams there that you've got to give the Bills respect. We've had respect for the Bills for the best part of 2 years already, where you've mentioned it before. You've mentioned that they are almost kind of designed and built themselves to be a Chief beater. And here we are. This is it. This is the main moment. Could this be the proof is in the pudding now? Are the Bills ready to make that next leap into the next part of you know, Josh Allen's career, let's say? Or has he still not got that maturity yet in the playoffs that he can get past somebody like Patrick Mahomes? I mean, we've seen it with Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady. We've had issues with Tom Brady. Is this going to be Josh Allen is going to have issues with Mahomes for the rest of his career? Isn't it? You know, it's mouth-watering though as well, because yeah, somebody like us, you know, especially in our you know, amateurish kind of view on things,
we are professional podcasters.
We are professional podcasters. You know what I mean, though. You know what I mean. I mean, you know, we're not coaches or anything like that. But looking at it as fans, and we enjoy the football, and seeing a Bills team like this playing some awesome football, just like the Chiefs are playing some awesome football. It's just, can you not tell? My mouth is salivating at the fact that we could be watching one of the great playoff games in the making.
Yeah, let me rephrase that. How damaging would it be to the Bills if they lost in time?
Oh, I think it would be really damaging.
Because what else can they do? Like, if they lose on Sunday, what else can they do to get over the Mahomes mountain?
Yeah, I mean, how do you change your kind of style of play to try and beat the Chiefs?
Is the answer getting the number one seed next year and trying to get them into Buffalo, get the Chiefs into Buffalo?
They're trying to avoid them as much as they can, yeah.
Is that the answer? Like, it's potentially really damaging for the Bills, because they lose this game, they're going to think, what's the answer?
Yeah.
How do we get past this one particular man? How do we get past this one opponent? Do they have to wait for Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill to move on? Do they have to wait for Andy Reid to retire? Is that when their window comes? They're not going to be that patient, surely, before they make changes. It's a big game for Buffalo. Like, the Chiefs can lose on Sunday, and we'll be like, okay, it wasn't the season we were hoping for. I always think that the floor should be the AFC Championship game, an appearance in the AFC Championship game for the Chiefs. I think that is the standard, the minimum. And if we don't make it, fine, it's a bad season from our point of view. But you always believe that the Chiefs will be able to get back. Like, if there's things that are wrong with this team that are fixable in the offseason, where the Bills feel like they've kind of already gone all in to beat the Chiefs, to overcome the Chiefs. They've built their team literally to beat us. Yeah. They have got acquired players, they've acquired pass rushers, they've acquired DBs to beat Patrick Mahomes.
And if they don't do it again...
And they've got more explosive on offense to go toe-to-toe and potentially outscore Patrick Mahomes. And if they don't do it this year, is it back to the drawing board for them? I don't know what they do. Do they come back with the same plan next year and try and overcome Patrick Mahomes again the same way? Like, wasn't it Einstein say that something to do with insanity, definition of insanity is trying the same thing twice and expecting the same results? Is that what we're looking at? Are we looking at the start of Josh Allen and Sean McDermott being sectioned? Like, is this what we're gonna this is what we're looking at?
How do we beat them? Yeah, I agree with you. It is a pivotal moment for them, but not much so for the Chiefs if they lose this game. But I still want to win this game. I still want to knock them down a peg or two as well, because they have got this arrogance suddenly coming back now. You can tell from the fan base that they are very, very arrogant about this because of the previous game in the season. And we've seen a lot of that on social media and, you know, the way that some of the media is going on as well about, you know, could this be the moment that the Bills really turn on the style, beat Mahomes, and that's it. It's the start of a new dynasty. You know, we've all heard it before about other teams before in the past, haven't we? But tell you what, let's get on to ones to watch, shall we? I'm going to go with, for the Bills, I've liked him in the last game. I really did like him in the last game. And he's a big guy as well. Dawson Knox. I'm going to go with him.
Dan Sorensen killer.
Yeah. Dawson Knox. He looks like a bit of a threat, especially with the fact that, you know, our DBs, not really on the tall side, let's say. But yeah, Dawson Knox is a man mountain.
Vertically challenged.
Put it nicely. But yeah, I think he's the one that scares me the most. What about you?
The one to watch is Josh Allen. I can't say what I was saying about Josh Allen and not having the one to watch. He is the B-O-N-N-O of this game. Yeah. But the one that I'm watching is actually F.A. Obada, the British player that we get shoved down our throats all the time. Like, I like F.A. Obada. I've heard him in a lot of interviews. And really good guy.
Great guy, yeah.
Extremely humble. But it's not his fault that NFL UK throw him in our faces all the time. He is the poster boy for the NFL in the UK. Before it was Jay Ajayi, and now it's F.A. Obada.
Yeah.
And I just, like, if F.A. Obada sacks Patrick Mahomes on Sunday,
oh, can you imagine?
I am going to have to delete my social. Or, like, just unfollow and mute and block NFL UK. Anything related to the NFL in the UK, because it will be unbearable. Even if the Chiefs batter the Bills 30-10, it won't matter in NFL UK's mind if F.A. Obada gets the sack.
Be all
so
over
he's
it,
the one I'm going to be watching. If he's rushing against Andrew Wiley or Orlando Brown, they better win because I can't deal with the NFL UK socials if F.A. Obada gets the sack.
What about the Chiefs? I'm going to go with Mecole Hardman this time because he was actually the best receiver in the previous game with 76 yards, 9 receptions. So, yeah, if he gets that kind of productivity and Tyreek Hill kind of gets similar or 100 yards or whatever and Kelsey's the same, I think Mecole Hardman could be the key. I've changed my tune on Mecole Hardman a little bit.
What are we doing? Come on. We mentioned it earlier, Mecole Hardman, the catalyst, the Chiefs, great playoff performances.
Yeah. Watch what he does.
Yeah. My one to watch. We drew a Tyrann Mathieu game.
Yeah.
When was the last time we had a Tyrann Mathieu game? Like, you never hear his voice anymore. Not his voice. You never hear his name mentioned anymore. Ever.
Not really. No.
Like, he's kind of gone into the shadows a little bit this year. And considering this is a contract year for him, it's not his fault. I'm sure it's all assignment-based. But come on, let's have a Tyrann game. When Tyrann Mathieu has a big game, the Chiefs tend to win.
Yeah.
Let Tyrann Mathieu eat. Come on, let him be the honey badger.
Yeah.
I don't know what specifically that means in terms of scheme, but we need to unlock Tyrann Mathieu as we've seen him before. We need this 2019 version of Tyrann Mathieu when he just appeared everywhere.
Yeah.
Amazing in the running that season, amazing in the playoffs. We need this version of Tyrann Mathieu because the current version, whilst he's good, and it's probably a good thing that you're not hearing his name mentioned because it means that he's doing his job properly.
Yeah.
We need to see like the explosive version of Tyrann Mathieu. Yeah. We're going to need all hands on deck for this particular offensive opponent. So let's get our best defensive player involved and let him make plays. Well, sorry, Chris Jones, our best defensive player. But, you know, best in the backfield, should we say.
Best DB.
Best DB. Let's see Tyrann Mathieu making some plays. And if he does make plays, the Chiefs are going to win this game.
Right. A difficult moment, mate. Predictions. I'm going to go with Chiefs 28, Bills 21. No. Long silence, long pause. What you don't want to say it here.
The slow start on the weekend really concerned me.
Is it?
Yeah. How can I go against Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs? I'm going to do it. I'm sorry, Chiefs Kingdom. Cancel me now.
No, don't. You're not going to do it, are you?
I do. Yeah, I'm going to say it. I think the Bills are going to win.
Oh. Right, that's it.
The cornerbacks have been challenged recently. The Chiefs cornerbacks have been challenged recently and aren't exactly stepping up to the mark too much at the moment. Stephon Diggs is elite. Josh Allen is playing elite. Dawson Knox is a problem. Their defense is very good and the Chiefs simply have too many bad drives. They have a lot of good drives, but they have too many bad drives. And this feels like a season for the Bills where they're kind of destined to make the Super Bowl. Yes, they've already beaten the Chiefs and they lost to the Titans, so they might have that hurdle to go over next week. But I think this is the season for the Bills, and I want to be wrong. You can say it next week. Told you so, Tom. Never doubt Patrick Mahomes again. But I think Patrick Mahomes is going to turn up. I think the Chiefs will score 27 points. I do. I think they get 27. I just think the Bills can't be stopped on offense. And I think the Bills will get 38 again.
At Arrowhead.
Arrowhead.
Did you factor that in at Arrowhead?
They've done it earlier. I know it doesn't. We shouldn't weigh that in, but they have already scored 38 points at Arrowhead this season. Well,
not playoff Arrowhead. What about the Golden Playoff book I talked about earlier?
Yeah.
You're not thinking about that, Tom. Come on.
No, I think the Bills are going to win. And you can all hate me now. Please leave a 5-star review, though.
I was going to say, yeah, I think a lot of our listeners have just gone, these guys want a 5-star review. I'm going to give Tom a 1. Not even a 1, half a 1. No, okay, mate. Well, you know, we can't agree all the time, can we?
No, so, I hate myself so much.
Don't hate Tom for that horrible prediction.
I've never wanted to be wrong so much in my life.
I really hope you are wrong, mate. I can't wait to point at you and laugh at you and tell you that you were wrong, so wrong.
So, right, well, we're promised this. If the Chiefs batter the Bills this week, yeah, and make it into the AFC Championship game, we will open next week's podcast with the audio of me making my prediction.
Yes, and after that, your apology. Okay. He's reluctant for that. You don't like to say sorry, do you, Tom? All right, then. Whilst we're on the predictions, we'll also predict the divisional round playoffs as well. We're not going to give you scores or anything, but who we think is actually going to be in the next round. Do you want to go first? Or do you want me to go first?
I'll go first. Titans, Packers, and the Buccaneers. I'll go for 300.
Titans, Packers, and Buccaneers. I've gone Bengals, Packers, Rams. We are so polar opposites this week.
You've gone for the Bengals because you think the Chiefs deserve to host the AFC Championship game. Yep. You've gone for the Packers because they're the number one seed. And you've gone for the Rams because you hate Tom Brady.
Yeah, that's it in a nutshell, I think.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, you know me so well.
You're so predictable.
You know me so well, Tom. What you're trying to say is that my fandom is clouding my predictions. Is that what you're saying?
That's exactly
what you're saying, isn't it? Yeah, okay. Right then, I think we'll tie this up this week. That's all we've got time for this week. If you've enjoyed the show, please feel free to leave us a rate and review. Check in with your boys from the kingdom every Wednesday at Arrowhead Pride. And remember, you can also listen to more Chiefs-related content here on the Arrowhead Pride Podcast Network for all your Chiefs news and game reactions. But all that's left to say here is, from one kingdom to another, we'll speak to you again soon. Go Chiefs!